It's 67 now in Jacksonville at Talk Radio WBOB.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. Ah! And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm Speaking Plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Hour two, the 8 o'clock hour, the 7 o'clock hour. Wow. I jumped ahead. I went through time.
Time flies.
Yeah. The 7 o'clock hour of I'm Speaking Plainly. The phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Anna Berlow Perez-Brochet gave me my second hour interview tonight, and an excellent performance once again. And my second hour guest, apparently, is also an Anna Brochet supporter, so maybe she'll be able to filter and fine-tune some of the reasons why she's jumped on board, Team Anna. And I'm telling you, folks, sit down, hold on to your chairs. The next hour is going to be a rough ride, because the only woman in town that I have a love-hate relationship with is in my studio tonight. Probably the single biggest, and I'm not saying this to be an insult, because I don't like to classify people, but I have to in order for you to get the gist of what I'm saying. Probably the single biggest African-American activist in North Florida, Denise Hunt. Welcome to the show.
Wow, that's big to live up to.
That is big to live up to. But you are, now I will say, and you admit that we have a love-hate relationship.
No, I think of it as all love.
Oh, you do? Oh,
yeah, whoa. I have a love for all people.
I would stick with the love hate.
There's
got
to be a catch there.
Yeah,
somewhere.
There's a reason why I don't come in every week.
So,
but it's not like I go home and think about you.
All right, I'm out of here.
Like, oh, I just hate Bill. Hey,
I'm out of here. I lost the show. Tom, just let the girls.
We could just take
now.
Over from here. I don't think there would be any.
Well, I wouldn't be if it wasn't for the
for
Me
Holly.
Too
yeah.
for Holly.
So
let's just go on and put that on the.
Let's jump right into it.
Okay,
Denise.
let's do that.
The previous hour was Anna Lopez Brochet. She
right.
has said that you're Team Anna.
And well, I hadn't always been.
You haven't always
been.
Let's
put it in perspective.
Change.
I was a big fan of, big supporter of Lenny Curry. Got the pictures to prove it. Went out to Eureka Gardens with him, right?
Right.
Supporting him with Malone Air Charter. Let's go. Let's put it in perspective before we get started.
Right.
I was a huge fan of Lenny. I went out in the North Side and advocated for him.
I did not know that.
Yeah, went against Alvin Brown for Lenny Curry, stood for him, got the pictures to show for it.
And he let you down.
I feel like he did.
So let me ask you, no one, and I'm being honest, no one probably mm-hmm. knows more about the plight of the folks in the Northwest Quadrant than you.
Right.
Maybe... And I'm sorry, I don't know his name. He's a wonderful man. He's been on the show before. I forgot his name. It was years ago. The man from Mad Dads.
Oh, you're talking about Donald Foy?
Yes, Mr. Foy.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Foy also is very knowledgeable of that area of town.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it forgotten many times?
Well, I mean, when you think about it, you got to think about the history, Bill. You know, we don't even need to get into race or anything like that. We could just keep this about history. And when you look at consolidation and what happened 50 years ago, and, you know, that could bring me into what's going on with JEA today in terms of the promised infrastructure that was geared for the North Side. And that was neglected. So when you look at all of the things that went on after consolidation, the money and appropriations were never evenly or fairly divided among the city. And so the North Side has been continuously neglected continuously forgotten about, continuously not funded or underfunded. And so it is leading to some of the disparities, some of the inequalities, some of the maladaptive behavior that we see in terms of the crime. And all of these things have been allowed to happen, and it didn't have to happen. And when we just look at it, you know me, I'm all about money too, you know, the economics of it. It has just went awry. It's just been a mess. And it goes down from year after year after year. And so, you know, for lack of a better term, the chickens are just coming home to roost right now.
Are you, am I making a bad assumption to think that many politicians look at that area of our town, and if I just threw this out as a generality to say, oh, well, those guys don't work. You know, they're hanging out on the street corner. They're selling drugs. They're you know, their houses are in disrepair. They don't do anything. They're not big in paying taxes. There's not a lot of businesses out there we get any revenue from. So let's just don't worry about them. Is that kind of the attitude that's been
taken?
Well,
I think that's the attitude. But let's look at the root cause of why that stereotype is. And it goes all the way back again, once again, to when the city was consolidated. And when we talk about, let me give you an example. When I was a kid, I grew up here in Jacksonville. I went from the north side, living out off of US 1 in Moncrief, which is called Pickett, okay? And I traveled to the south side, which was Bowles High School, where I went to school. I graduated, okay? Now, yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah, I was a Bowles graduate.
And wow.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to see both sides of this town. So when I talk, I'm talking from 50 years of living in this city, living on both sides, seeing both sides. Okay? When you look at the infrastructure, when I was a kid, there was nothing off of JTB. There was nothing out there by Gate Parkway. It was all woods.
Same here. Yeah.
Right?
All woods.
All woods. The city got together with certain families here in the city, the Skinners and different people, and they put the infrastructure in place to grow Gate Parkway, to grow it to be where the St. John's Town Center could be.
Right.
JEA has never, never honored the promises that they made for the infrastructure in terms of septic tanks, the lighting, the all of the stuff that goes into growing an area. You cannot have business growth. I don't have an MBA, but I do have good common sense.
Now, see,
you can't grow an area without infrastructure.
I know enough about you over our years of arguing back and forth with each other. Mm-hmm. You're a nurse.
I'm a registered nurse by trade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A single mom, right?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you, now I'm just finding out, Bowles graduate.
Yeah. Went to the University of Florida.
Well, I won't hold that against you.
Went back and became a nurse, and then recently graduated from UNF.
You're absolutely amazing. Why have you not thrown your hat in the ring for elected office previously?
Oh, I just never thought of myself as a politician. I always thought of myself as a social.
A fine Christian woman?
Yeah, no, that ain't,
no, it's fine.
That ain't working. That. I can tell you right now, Denise, I'd vote for you just to get you to go away.
No, you wouldn't want me to go away, because guess what? I will
you
always...
You come back. You'll always...
No, you know what? I've always been for a lot of issues that you stood for, namely the runway at Malone.
Right.
So we're not always diverging.
No, and a lot of our carrying on back and forth is all made up. I really care about the stuff that you do, and I know that probably in your heart, I'd like to talk about this when we get back, and we have some phone calls. Lori's on the line. Would you like to take a call when we get back?
I'd love to take a call.
Excellent. All right. So Denise Hunt joining me here in the studio, probably the second or third time that you've been in the studio. Always an enjoyable experience whenever Denise Hunt is in the house. Phone line's open, 222-TALK. 222-8255. Facebook is open also. If you'd like to reach me on Facebook, you can. Facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plainly, or you can send me snail mail. Bill@600WBOB.com. Bill@600WBOB.com. Next week, joining me here in the studio, Jimmy Hill, Saturday night, another candidate for mayor, and also that guest host or guest co-host, Angela Walker from Real Estate Radio. You hear it every Saturday morning here at 9 o'clock. We're going to step away. We'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
City Rescue Mission's fourth annual Difference Makers Banquet is coming up on Thursday, February 7th at the Lexington Hotel and Conference Center. Join City Rescue Mission for a special evening featuring special guest Daryl Strawberry, who for 17 years was one of baseball's most feared sluggers, an inspiration for anyone in recovery. Strawberry has often said, "I never had trouble hitting, I had trouble living." You can reserve a table at City Rescue Mission's fourth annual Difference Makers Banquet on February 7th for you and your friends, church, staff, or family by calling CRM at 904-421-5183 or by going to crmjacks.org today. Single seat tickets are also available for purchase. City Rescue Mission has been providing hope, healing, and second chances to those who need it most since 1946 and looks forward to sharing Daryl Strawberry's heartwarming story of recovery and restoration on February 7th. RSVP today at crmjacks.org or 904-421-5183.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, EE, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483 or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Said, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back. Really? Red light's on. Really? Did you forget that soon?
Don't make me open up a can of Hurricane Hunt on you. I got friends here tonight.
Yeah, Denise Hunt joining me in the studio tonight. Phone lines are open. 222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to go immediately to Lori on the phone. Lori, you're on with Denise.
Hi, Denise. Aren't you the person who was involved with the affordable housing projects in Jacksonville that were not being maintained by the not-for-profits?
No. You probably remember me from being one of the first people to go out to expose what was going on in Eureka Gardens, along with Mayor Lenny Curry, to call attention to that slum landlord that was out
right,
there.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say so. But he wasn't that run by a not-for-profit?
I think his part of that guy's
he was a pastor.
A pastor,
and it was out of Tennessee or something.
Had something, you know, he had a nonprofit component to it. Yes.
Correct.
Yes,
correct,
ma'am.
What I want to do is ask you, how did that work out, and get a follow up to it? And I would like to hang up the phone so that I can hear it on air.
Thanks, Lori. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Well, what ended up happening was he ended up being pressured to sell his part of it. I know he changed management.
Change management, change right. ownership. It was completely overhauled and redone. There was a lot of welding on the stairs done.
Yeah.
A lot of mold mitigation done.
Yeah, a lot of that was done, but there's still some issues out there. It hasn't completely been taken care of, but it's a lot better than what it was. The state, the federal government actually came in with some monies to help them with not only Eureka Gardens, but also Washington Heights. That's being changed over. That ended up trickling down to Cleveland Arms. There's some monies that went out there to rehab Cleveland Arms. So, I mean, there has been some changes, but I wouldn't say 100% of that has changed.
It's not a cure yet.
No, they're still in the process, but it is a lot better.
Let me ask you, when it comes to active and outreach from African-American activists here mm-hmm. in black activists here in North Florida, Jacoby Pittman and you mm-hmm. stand out. There is a role for someone to spearhead an effort to clean up some of the sides, some of the north side. Mm-hmm. And when I say clean up, not clean up by going in and just telling people your home's trashed, it's condemned, but offering them an opportunity to I don't think anyone gets up in the morning and says, I want to live in this trash home. I just don't have the wherewithal in order to fix it mm-hmm. or to upgrade it. Mm-hmm. Why is it I've never seen someone come up with a task force or a program mm-hmm. or a committee to work with the North Side and try and solve some of the problems? I know someone talked about a food desert project mm-hmm. to where the only food that was available was from convenience stores and it wasn't healthy, it wasn't nutritious right. food. Is there just no end game in that area of town? There's no money to be made, so people just walk away from
it? Well, first of all, we don't have enough time to deal with the complexities that's dealing with that area of town, right? And when you think of the north side, don't just think of the inner city, which is in the 95 Beltway. Think of the whole Northwest Quadrant. It's a huge area. I think it's like 800 square miles or something. I can't remember the exact, but it's huge. So there's a lot of beautiful homes on the north side. If you go out Extra Drive, you go... I mean, it's not just all 45th and Moncrief or 34th and Moncrief. It's not a homogeneous area, mm-hmm. okay? And as far as the food desert project, you know, Katrina Brown did come up with legislation to bring in IGA and some other companies to that area. The Soul District, which is off of Myrtle Avenue, she brought in funding to a bill to... to pass appropriations for funding for a grocery store to come in over on Myrtle Avenue. So there are some things being done that was spearheaded, namely by her and Reggie Brown, to help cure what you were talking about, the food deserts. A lot of times what happens is when people start coming up with task force and different things, they're getting undermined in this city. And that's what Anna Brochet was talking about, the intimidation, the bullying, you know, and there's plenty of money to be made on the north side. It's over, it's billions of dollars in consumer spending going on. If it wasn't, why are there so many Arabs with the arcades that's coming up, the liquor stores, you know? I mean,
they know there's money out there.
Yeah, there's money out there. It's just that there's not enough capacity in terms of economic growth and development to meet the needs of the north side.
Let me ask
you. You know
what
I'm saying? It's not enough stores, enough diversity, because the infrastructure was never put in place.
Let's go in a different direction for just a second before the next break. Crime. Drive-by shootings.
Right.
Innocent people getting caught in the crossfire, fire, getting killed. People going to parties where there's 100 folks there. Somebody drives up, fires bullets into it.
Right.
You know, it's got to hurt you.
It does.
As a member of the black community, when you know, you are a smart woman. You know somebody knows something.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need to do? What does Sheriff Williams need to do? How do you break that?
Well, first of all, you see, the truth doesn't want to come out. A lot of people don't come forth to tell the truth, because a lot of people who have come forth have been killed for telling the truth.
Is it that bad?
Yeah, because really a lot of people's names have been leaked to the public. Now, this is what the people on the streets are saying. This is not Denise Hunt.
Okay.
So you want the truth? I'm going to bring you the truth. They say when they cooperate that their names could be leaked out and then people get killed. So people don't trust the system. They don't trust law enforcement to come forth. So what we've got is a trust issue in the community. You understand? Like the other day, I'm giving you an example. I was coming down Pearl Street, and I looked over, and there was this one black woman pulled over, and she's sitting in the car. She's an older black woman, and it was like five police officers with this one traffic stop. You know, and it's this over-policing. It's this distrust. And it goes back, and until Sheriff Williams wants to tell the truth and deal with the communities on a street-by-street level, that's why I was advocating like a case management, that we take ownership and control of different areas and go in and find out what is wrong in these households. You understand? And meet the needs in where these high crime rates are. No one wants to do that, and that takes money. Bill, that takes money to do it. And so if you don't want to deal with it, just say you really don't want to fix it.
Okay.
Just tell the truth.
All right, so the next question, I guess, and we might have to take the answer to this after the break.
Okay.
Is, and I have a hard time asking this question, but just I've got Holly between you and me.
Okay.
Are you disappointed in the fact that you mentioned two names a moment ago, Katrina Brown and Reggie Brown? Are you disappointed in the fact that it appears as though they let people that elected them down in their actions?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't feel like they ever let anybody down. I feel like there's going to be a lot that come out that's going to show that the city let them down.
So you're still standing in Katrina's corner and Reggie's corner?
No, I'm not standing in anybody's corner. I'm standing in the corner for truth and justice and fairness. And all I want is transparency, due process.
Okay.
I want fairness.
She refiled.
I don't want collaborations and collusions and people working together to make a certain case. I just want fairness. That's what most people want. That's what you would want if you were indicted. And keep
You're
in
right.
mind, an indictment is just a formal accusation.
You're right. An indictment is by all means not a conviction. So,
no.
So
you're innocent until proven guilty.
My question is,
I mean, it doesn't, you know, just because you were indicted, it doesn't dismiss all the work you've done in the community.
I agree. So she refiled yesterday for her seat.
Yeah, I filmed it.
Any buzz on the street as to whether or not she still has enough support to keep that seat?
Do you know how many people begged her to run?
Really?
You would not believe it.
All right.
All those things that Jacoby put out there was all the stuff that me and Katrina went out and worked. I was there with her. The cemetery, look it up. Google it. I was the first one with Katrina out in the cemeteries asking to clean up those cemeteries. It's on the news. See, everything I do, I got receipts to prove what I do.
Yeah, I know.
And I share it on social media.
Right.
So you can see the work that I do. So I don't have to lie, miss, represent the work that I do or what I'm saying. You can go Google my work.
If it was a city councilman, Denise Hunt, in that north side area, think about this over the break.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a city councilwoman, Denise Hunt, in that north side area or in the downtown Springfield area, the West Main area, any of those areas,
it'd be cleaned up.
Well, let's talk about that when we get back on what the Denise Hunt city councilship would look like. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Of course, in the studio, you can't miss the sound of that voice. Denise Hunt joining me live in the studio tonight. 222-TALK, 222-8255. If you'd like to reach me on Facebook, you can. Facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plainly. Also, remember next week, the co-host in the hot seat, Angela Walker, joining me here from Real Estate Radio. I guess I was kind of mean to her last time, and her sister is really encouraging me to not be so mean this time. But you know what that means, Holly? It's time to double down. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. We'll be right back.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM.
WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Day 22 and counting. That makes the partial government shutdown the longest in U.S. history. But Vice President Mike Pence says Congress has approved back pay for all federal workers not being paid during the shutdown. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is traveling the Middle East, nine nations. And he says American diplomats' morale remains good despite the shutdown that's left many of them working without pay right now. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says the next round of trade negotiations with China will likely occur later this month in Washington. Meanwhile, FlightAware reporting minimal travel delays as snow falls and weather warnings are in effect from St. Louis across the Midwest and into the Mid-Atlantic states. But take it slow tonight through tomorrow evening, especially if you're driving. Five deaths already blamed on the weather, mostly from car crashes. For more details, visit srnnews.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Single-family houses and apartments are the key to passive income, a.k.a. retirement. No one knows this better than America's most successful investor educator, national radio host, self-made multimillionaire, CEO, and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley. Meet Del's team live in Jacksonville, one day only, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Jacksonville Riverfront, Saturday, January 19th from noon to 4. Attend for free. Register at retireinfiveyearsorless.com. That's retireinfiveyearsorless.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at retireinfiveyearsorless.com.
American Electrical Contracting over on St. Augustine Road is expanding and they need electricians. They offer top wages along with a benefit plan second to none. Paid holidays, vacation, 401k with match, bonus plan for all employees. A third-year electrician will get about 6 weeks pay they did not have to work for. That's right, 6 weeks. 3 weeks vacation, 6 paid holidays, 2 weeks pay for bonus. Who does that? American Electrical. That's who. Call 737-7770 or drop by their office on St. Augustine Road.
Ramona Flea Market has stuff. New stuff, used stuff, fun stuff, kid stuff, stuff to put stuff in, stuff to build stuff with. And who needs all that stuff? You! And what do you do when you have too much stuff? Sell your stuff at Ramona Flea Market. Open every Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Book your space now. Call 904-786-3532. Ramona Flea Market, Ramona Boulevard near I-10 and 295.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Right now, 7:33. Good evening, I'm Tom Murphy. New Kings Road is good north and southbound between Edgewood and Moncrief. I-10 is actually carefree and nonstop in both directions from US 301 to the West Beltway. Partly cloudy tonight, down to 57. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with a breeze, mid-70s. A few clouds Sunday night, cooler at 48. And Monday, sunny with a high of 61. Right now, it's 65 degrees. You're on Talk Radio WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey,
hey, hey. That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Denise Hunt joining me in the studio. We got a comment from Dennis. Really, a guy named Dennis.
Okay.
Dennis wants to know, as I said going into the break, if nothing's being done on the north side, what would you do differently? So let me break that down to what I did teasing out the last segment.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a city council person representing any district here in town, just what would you do differently? And you don't have to name the person that's there now, but what would you do differently?
Ooh, Well, number one, because I've learned so much over the years of being out here and going and being engaged in city council meetings and different things. Number one, I would open up transparency. Okay. Like that bill that Anna Brochet wanted to push for transparency about these backroom deals, all these brokers, you know, these donors flying off to London on Shad Khan's planes. And I'd make it where you had to show what you're doing to the public. That's number one. We would have transparency, okay? Number two, in terms of the budget, I would go line item for line item and find out where all that money is being misappropriated and how it's being inefficiently used and utilized in this city. You understand? Number three, I would push to make sure JEA, when they get that $20 million, because I think they expected to spend over $2 billion, that money is appropriately, evenly and fairly appropriated throughout the city, and that the things that they were supposed to do in terms of the septic tanks, in terms of a lot of the infrastructure, a lot of those needs were met so that we could get all the city could get in on the economic growth. You understand? Number four, I'd go in and I'd do some community, ask the police to come in and do some community policing. You know, and take back ownership and control of these streets piece by piece, street by street. You know, and I would divert monies back in with mental health. It's a lot I would do. Boy, if I was a city councilman, I'd straighten this out.
Now, let me ask you, you may have just laid the groundwork. I mean, you're not a stupid woman by any stroke of the imagination. And when I see you on television or on radio, or you're giving an interview to someone who may be writing a story for Folio or Times Union. Well, I know we all chuckle when we say writing a story, because it's more of a fairy tale when it's in Folio. But the thing is, you have a great perspective, because if I were to walk into the black community, let's say I go to 66th and Main, like around Jackie Seafood there.
Yeah.
And I walk into those streets.
I don't live far from there.
Okay, I walk into those streets and I say, I'm walking down and I stop someone on the corner and say, what could I do to improve this community?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to just look at me first off and say, why are you talking to me? You're a white guy in a black neighborhood. Why are you talking
to me? In that area of town, you'd be talking to more poor whites.
Really?
Because that's all, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I don't live far from there. There's more trailers and more poor whites, working whites, that live off of 66 in Maine.
Okay.
So the chances of you talking to a black person is kind of, I mean, I'm just trying to, I'm not trying to be funny.
Well, if I went to Moncrief and the Division Street area out there, I wouldn't be greeted as well as someone like you. And so
I don't think so. I think people are open to help. Let me tell you something. I've had white people who are activists come out in the black community, like when I was in Ken Knight, you would have been welcome. I had awesome white people come all the way from Georgia to help put roofs on people and tarps on people's homes out there. So it's not about color. It's about how you present yourself. Like, if you come in to want to make a difference, you're not coming to judge. You come in to see what can you do to fix the issue.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Let's talk about something. Let's talk about something else that that Holly and I have discussed on the show many times. I've discussed it with my guest. When you go to a park and you see some 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, they don't care whether you're black, white, brown, green, blue, purple. They just want to care whether or not you can push them on the swing or kick a kickball.
Right.
Somewhere between that and 12 and 13 years old, there's a change.
Right.
Racism is taught in the home, or disparity is taught in the home. How do we catch those kids that are 10 to 14 and teach them that, doing a music video where I saw one about a year or so ago, really young kids, and it was shot here in Jackson. It was a music video, and they're all sporting Glocks and chrome guns and things, and they're young kids, 14, 15 years old. Well, how do you stop that?
Well, that's part of the oppression of black people, and that goes all the way back, and that's entertainment. And I think that we've got to teach our kids the difference between entertainment and real life. And these are the people that they're emulating, because these are the people that are making it out of the hood and going on to, if you look at hip hop culture, there's been more black millionaires created out the hip hop culture.
Right.
Okay, now how did that end up happening? We could go on and talk about how that happened. But we've got to somehow get in there and teach kids, like my granddaughter early on, you know, some ways of achieving without necessarily being in entertainment or football or basketball, that there's other ways of getting, of achieving in this city. And that's what we've got to do, Bill. We got to open up the doors for everybody to have access and the opportunity to achieve, no matter what color they are. If you're white and you live in Clay Hill, or you're white and you live off of Main Street and you're struggling, or you're black and you live off of 34th and Moncrief, everybody should have an opportunity. That's not what's happening here.
In the Moncrief area, who do we put in there as a mentor? Mm-hmm. Who do we put in there as a mentor to teach young kids that there's a better way out than crime and drugs?
Well, we don't want to just teach about young kids over on Moncrief. You want to teach kids out on Bay Meadows. You want to teach kids right. out in, I mean, crime is everywhere in the city. It's not just, isolated to 34th and Moncrief. You got people, the burglaries are up in Bay Meadows.
Right.
You know, Mandarin, all over the city is crime, escalating crime. So I think that it starts early on. It starts prenatally as a nurse, because, I mean, we could talk about the infant mortality rates in this city. We could talk about black children dying 2-1 over, I could just go into a whole litmus.
You can be on the north side. You can be in Mandarin. Right. You can be in Orange Park. The first thing you're going to see that mom say when they stick a camera in her face is, my son wouldn't do that.
Right.
You know, because every mother wants to believe better of their children. Right. They don't want to believe that their kids
could do that. But, you know, all this crime is not just happening with kids. Some of this crime is happening with adults.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And we need to look at our whole society in terms of crime and violence. It's not just young people.
Have the gangs taken over certain neighborhoods?
I don't believe that there's gangs. I believe that people stereotype we can go all the way back to when blacks were let out of, were trying to flee, after Reconstruction, and you'd had the slave vagrancy laws, and if two black people were seen grouped together, it was classified as a gang. The problem with this is there's no gangs. There are only children that are hurting, children that don't have access to good parenting, children whose homes are broken. And guess what? As a nurse and a case manager, I'm in these homes every day. I see the pain. And it is not just with black kids. It's white kids. It's white families. It's Hispanic families. Our homes are suffering, Bill. And nobody wants to address that. We got a high poverty level in this city. We got high unemployment. We got a lot of inequalities. The wealth gap is growing. And people are hurting.
Are the churches in the black community still powerful?
I think it's less and less.
Less influence on young people and young families.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because people are tired of the hypocrisy from the black church. A lot of them making deals. The pastors making deals, trying to get their rent paid on their buildings. And, you know, they're not standing for the true values like the church was with Dr. King. No, they're not.
Do you think, here's another issue. I guess we'll change subjects and go national.
Okay.
I know that you and I got sideways on Barack Obama many years ago. Think about this during the break. Are we better off? Are the races more divided now than they were before Barack Obama? And if so, what's your thoughts on how do we get back to where we were pre-Barack Obama? You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Joining me in the studio tonight, Denise Hunt. Always one of my great guests here. We have a love-hate relationship tonight. It's definitely a good one. We're doing a good time. She hasn't jumped over the desk and tried to strangle me one time tonight, although the night is young. Phone lines are open. 222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to step away for just a couple minutes. If you'd like to reach us on Facebook, you can. Facebook.com/I'm Speaking Plainly. Or Reach me on snail mail, bill@600wbob.com, bill@600wbob.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Are you afraid of the IRS because you have unfiled or unpaid taxes? Most don't realize that having unfiled federal taxes is a misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in jail for each unfiled return. With the IRS, it's never a question of if they'll come, but when. We are J. David Tax Law, a local firm right here in Jacksonville. Your first step to IRS protection is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. Call today for a no-cost consultation at 904-606-0009. That's 904-606-0009. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, January 18th at 7 p.m., the Jacksonville Symphony presents Amadeus at the Times Union Center for the Performing Arts. Saturday, January 19th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, January 19th from 2 to 5 p.m., it's the Winter Beach 5 and 10K Run at Jacksonville Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Anytime is a great time to give flowers to the ones you love. At Kuhn Flowers, we know that all too well. That's why we offer the longest-lasting, most beautiful floral arrangements in Jacksonville. Kuhn Flowers has the perfect flower arrangements for birthdays, holidays, good days, and even bad days. Show that special someone just how much you care with a gift of flowers from Kuhn Flowers. Call us today at 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or shop online anytime at kuhnflowers.com.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking. The breaks are coming quick tonight. They're flowing a lot faster. You're speeding up the tapes. I can tell. I know it's you. So...
why is he speeding it up?
I don't know.
He want to get me
it's
out there?
Just, no, it's just Tom. It's, you know, Tom. He's over there playing video games on that.
We're having fun tonight. We want to bring the ratings. I want to bring the people. I want them to get mad.
When I'm playing video games. Sure.
That's what Bill likes. He likes to, you know,
I gotta get people charged up.
Yeah, he likes that.
When we
crank up the Fortnite.
Red Dead Redemption.
When we went into the break. I lose my mic.
You lost my mic. You cut me off.
Tom, have I told you lately I love you?
Oh, man. All right. So let's get some serious back. It's clearly obvious that we have some areas of town that are not safe, regardless of the color of your skin. Has nothing to do with it. It's mm-mm. just that the criminal activity in those areas, I'm sure that there are, regardless of skin color, families in certain areas of Jacksonville tonight that when the sun went down, they went inside and locked their doors and they don't come back out again until tomorrow morning. Nobody should have to live that way.
I agree. But then there's areas that people aren't living like that, you know, so it's not all of the north side. We have to be very careful that we're not, you know, over exaggerating.
Right.
Because I don't feel that way on my street.
Denise, I go in and lock my doors at night because Bill knows where I live. So.
Oh, okay. But I'm just saying, I don't feel like I couldn't walk the street or anything. But the thing is, are we safer today than we were 4 years ago? I would make the argument that we're not.
Let me ask you.
And that we're less likely to be safer in our homes today than we were 4 years ago.
We teased it out going to the break about the racial divisiveness that seems to have come under the Barack Obama administration. Do you think he played the African Americans in our country to stir them up into believing that they were being mistreated and rise up against these people? This is your opportunity, he says in one quote during a press conference. This is your opportunity to get even. Was that a good attitude, Dan?
I don't know if he said that. I didn't hear him say that. But think about it. Was Dr. King saying that?
No.
And Obama wasn't even elected. So we've been fighting racism and oppression since slavery, Reconstruction, Jim Crow. I mean, the 50s with desegregation of public schools. I mean, come on, the dogs being turned on black people.
Right.
This is nothing new. What is going on, Bill, is that you're seeing a backlash from a black man being becoming president of the United States. That's number one. Number two, with the advent of social media and these phones, now you can't hide from racism. You can't turn it off because, see, I could be walking down the street and I can go and look in Hemman Park and see these police officers mistreating some homeless white people. I'm just going to say it. And I could put it right on Facebook, which I've done, some veterans that have been mistreated, and boom, now everybody sees it. See, so you can't hide. It's not that racism is more or less. It's that it's more out there. And with the present administration and some of the things that he's saying and doing, it is more emboldened. And people are just more apt to just be what was in them all the time. So it's nothing new.
You're probably younger than me. And
I'm better looking, too. Well, that's neither him nor
that. Wow. Yes. I've met my match. Anyway, do you... At 50, I'm 57, so I've got maybe 3 decades left, hopefully. You laugh. All right, but do you see a much bigger acceleration of a race war in the United States if things aren't handled?
Absolutely.
Really?
I feel like...
You're not the first one that's told me that.
Oh, yeah, I feel like keep pushing. And, I mean, I could say some things that happened even with this Gilliam, the last election, and things that, the voter suppression that came up. People are getting more and more frustrated. They're not apt to accept a lot of the things that are going on. And as you get these younger generations coming on, they're not as amenable to wanting to sit like me and you and have discussions. These young people are just like, my daughter is the type of person that she's not listening. Like, she's sick and tired of being sick and tired. Okay. You know, they want to take it to the next level. So I anticipate, like, my granddaughter, she might be one of those part of that revolution that say, enough's enough. Let's go. So I can see it, unless people like you and me sit down and have...
Let's get married, Denise.
I can't do that.
All right, so we'll move to... I think we just made Holly.
I can't take you home to see my daddy.
Please don't.
So if we had a situation, we talked about the monuments with Anna Brochet.
Okay.
Are the monuments just a symbol, or is there a possibility that some people in the black community are really moved by having to see them? Is it my father used to tell me, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Monuments hurting people? Really?
I don't feel like monuments physically hurt me. I feel like monuments remind me of the hurt that so many people of my ancestors had to deal with. I think it's just a mental reminder of where we don't want to go back to and how we want to go forward, and I think that for a lot of people, it's not like black people sitting around going, oh my God, that monument is downtown and let me go get it. But when you think about the history of what that monument represents and the sheer hatred, I mean, it's like you wouldn't want, Jewish people wouldn't want a monument of Hitler sitting up in the over there on Independence Drive. It wouldn't be tolerated.
All right, I can see that. Now, Anna Brochet responded to one of the callers, and she was leaving the studio, that she's done some research.
Okay.
She educated herself on the monuments, on the history, and she changed her position that she doesn't want to take down the monuments that exist, but she wants to put up new monuments that tell the whole story. I think that's a good meet-in-the-middle solution to a lot of people's problems. If you walk by a monument that reminds you of a bad time in your history, and then you walk by another monument of Martin Luther King, as so many cities have erected, who was Rosa Parks and some of the others.
Why would you want a monument that killed and slaughtered millions of people? Why would you want that?
When you're talking about who?
Jefferson Davis.
Okay.
Was that Andrew Jackson? Why would you want a genocidal maniac downtown representing Duval County, and we're supposed to be progressive and growing? Why would I want that?
I think a lot of that has to do with that's just history, and we can't change history.
We're not trying to change history. We're just saying that we don't need that in our city downtown if we're talking about diversity and inclusivity and multiculturalism and growing and accepting people. Why would we want that?
Okay.
I wouldn't want Hitler downtown.
See, I can't walk.
And he was part of history.
Right.
But I wouldn't want to look at him and he slaughtered 6 million Jews every day. How does that bring comrades and progressivism to our city? We want to go forward.
Well, I don't want to go forward as a progressive city, that's for sure.
Oh, well.
Me personally. No, I don't. Okay, progressiveness is just one step closer to complete and total socialism. And I don't think
we already got socialism.
We do have socialism.
When you took your Social Security check, when you got your, when children don't have to work under 12 years old, I mean, under 18, and they have certain rules and wage labor laws, that's socialism.
Right.
If we had real free enterprise in this country, half these businesses would be out of business.
I agree.
Because all of these businesses are subsidized off of taxpayer dollars. Like, for example, Walmart. Walmart couldn't even exist if half the workers wasn't on food stamps. So all those profits are being subsidized by our tax dollars. We already got socialism.
I agree with you.
What you don't want is capitalism that works for everybody. You don't want me to get going. You got a brain in here now.
Now, the problem that I see is that we have a lot of programs, like you said, and a lot of those programs are socialistic in nature. We're going to pay you to not work. We're going to pay you because you're a single mom with three kids.
But see, you want to just focus on individual programs. You don't want to focus on corporate
welfare. Well, I would.
And so if we had an even playing ground and we just had a market free economy, most of these businesses downtown wouldn't even exist. For example,
hang on, I gotta go to break.
Oh yeah,
you're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill. Hey boy, once she gets started, it's hard to slow her down. Denise Hunt in the studio. We'll be right back.
We subsidize the show.